I've been sharing lots of stories about disasters over recent weeks, and I heard another one yesterday. It's quite an amazing story that happened here in Brisbane 3 weeks ago. Three Sundays ago, Neil Parker, an experienced bushwalker, went to Mount Nebo for a three-hour bushwalk. He was walking along, doing something he'd always done, something he'd done many times before, when he lost his footing and fell 6 metres down a waterfall and broke his leg. He had walking sticks and a snake bite kit with bandages and stuff like that, so he made a splint for his leg and started to crawl out of Mount Nebo to a clearing where someone hopefully would spot him. He commented how heavy a leg that is not connected to the rest of your body is. Can you imagine this? Crawling, carrying your leg. He was rescued. It happened on a Sunday. He was rescued on Tuesday afternoon. He said afterwards, "I climbed the waterfall many times before, and this time, with it being so dry, the lichen on the rock, instead of sticking, slipped and gave way." Neil Parker is not alone. Look at this guy. Oh. Poor guy. I wonder if he's lived it down yet. I mean, it would seem even the most experienced people in the situation can lose their footing and slip. Well, we have now come to the end of our study of 1 Peter. And we've seen how the Apostle Peter has reminded us of who we are as the people of God and how we exist here and now for a purpose to be on mission. We have also seen our present reality is a world characterized by suffering. Well, Peter has one final thing to say to us. Get a good footing so that you can stand firm. Let's read it together. Let me read it for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it." Yes, we live in a world impacted by sin, a world where bad things happen, a world where injustice, selfishness, and sickness and death are daily realities. For the people Peter wrote to, as it is for many people today, their reality was opposition and hostility, simply because they believed in Jesus. And if this present suffering isn't bad enough, prowling around is an enemy, a predator who wants to take advantage of the situation and devour us. Peter simply identifies him as the devil. This word devil means slanderer. And the Oxford Dictionary defines a slanderer as someone who is uttering of malicious, false, and injurious statements about a person. Someone who attacks a person with their words. Someone who is putting someone down. Someone who is telling lies about another person. The devil is a slanderer. Jesus called the devil the father of lies, a liar from the beginning. Everything he says is a lie. And indeed, isn't that what we see the devil doing in the Garden of Eden? He comes into the Garden of Eden, God's perfect creation, confronts Adam and Eve, and tells lies. Lies straight to her face. Tells her things about God that are not true. And isn't that what the devil did with Jesus in the wilderness? He, speaking to God, eternal creator God, clothed in human flesh, and he speaks lies concerning the person of God. Daniel in the Old Testament prophet, speaks of a day and he captures something of this notion of the devil as a liar in Daniel 8, verse 19. I'm going to tell you what will happen later in the time of wrath, because the vision concerns the appointed time of the end. In 23, in the latter part of their reign, when rebels have become completely wicked, a fierce looking king, a master of intrigue, will arise. He will become very strong, but not by his own power. He will cause astounding devastation and will succeed in whatever he does. He will destroy those who are mighty, the holy people. He will cause deceit to prosper, and he will consider himself superior. When they feel secure, he will destroy them and take his stand against the prince of princes. Yet he will be destroyed, but not by human power. Do you get the sense of who this being is? This deceiver, this liar, this one who is cunning and wicked, fierce looking, telling lies, telling lies. So what is the picture Peter is painting for us here? What is it God wants us to be alert to? Can I suggest it is when we are going through hard times, when we are suffering, we are vulnerable. We are vulnerable to the lies of the enemy who wants to destroy us. The devil is an opportunist. You know that annoying kid at school? And you'd say, oh, I've got a sore arm, and they'd hit you in the sore arm. You didn't have that experience? That's the picture we're seeing here. It's amazing. The devil is an opportunist who seeks to take advantage in those moments of our vulnerability. The Apostle Paul picks up on a similar idea and paints a similar picture of how the devil works in Romans 8. The context is what Paul says, calls our present sufferings, our present reality. That's how Paul describes the world in which we live. And as Paul unpacks this whole idea, he poses some rhetorical questions. And indeed, that's very much his style in Romans. He's actually seeking to, okay, what are you thinking? Because let me address that. Let me speak to that. And that's an interesting way to read Romans. What are all the questions Paul asks? Well, here in Romans 8, that's exactly what he does. And he enters into this idea of, okay, so in this present suffering, what are the things that you're telling yourself? What are the things you're hearing? I would suggest, what are the things the devil whispers into our ears? And it's very interesting to unpack it. Verse 31, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Did you notice that? If God is for us. Hang on. Is God for me? What's going on here? Verse 33. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Do you hear what's going on in behind that? Oh, you're going through a hard time. Maybe you've sinned. The devil's whisper. Maybe God doesn't care anymore. Who then is the one who condemns? No one, Christ Jesus who died. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Do you hear the behind-scene conversation? Paul is raising up this question. When I am suffering, this present suffering, what are some of the stuff I'm thinking? God's left me. Where does that come from? The liar. Paul addresses it, and you should read the whole of chapter 8 in this context. And so, in the face of what of all this, what does God want us to do? What does God want us to do? What is God encouraging us to do? Resist him, resist the devil by standing firm in the faith. Verse 12. Peter says he's encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. Peter picks up on this theme when he writes his second letter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. Verse 15, and I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. It's interesting to notice what Peter's saying here. How do we resist the devil? By standing firm in the faith. In the grace of God. In the truth. It's important that we hear this. Not standing firm in faith, not standing firm by faith, but standing firm in the faith. Standing firm in the grace of God. Standing firm in the truth. Yes, in the objective truth that Jesus, through his death and resurrection, has destroyed the works of the devil. Standing in the declared message and the works of God that Jesus, eternal God, clothed himself in human flesh, died on the cross, and rose again. I love the way Daniel put it. He will, referring to this evil one that he spoke of, he will be destroyed. but not by human power. But not by human power. Paul picks that up so well in Colossians, this same idea. Colossians 1 verse 13, for he, God, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We who have believed in Jesus have been rescued by the one who has defeated the works of the devil. Colossians 2 verse 15, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. How do we resist the devil? Not by screaming and yelling at him. Not by somehow working up enough faith so we can be stronger than him, but by simply knowing what God has done in the Lord Jesus Christ and standing in that. See, the picture is not of a tug of war. It's not a tug, you know how a tug of war works? Two powerful forces pulling against each other. We're not in a tug of war. That's not what's going on here. No, the picture is not of a tug of war where we are pulling with all our might, but of finding a firm place where we can plant our feet and simply stand. How did Paul say it in Ephesians? Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. You see, the picture the Bible paints is of a con man, a liar, who is trying to control people through his lies, losing his power because his lies have been exposed. The truth, the message of Jesus, will set you free. Believe it. Believe it. And as you live, stand fast in it. Let me wrap this up by reading again from Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. That's Paul's description of his own sufferings. You might be able to relate to some of that yourself. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him. Through him who loved us. For I am convinced, objective truth here, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Stand firm. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your love that was poured out in Jesus for us. That you, God, your eternal purpose and plan was that you would have a people for yourself, that we might know you and enjoy you and your goodness throughout eternity. And Lord, we do not presume that that's something we deserve. But we thank you for your precious gift of Jesus. We thank you for your mighty love that knows no end. And yes, Lord, we thank you that we can stand in all that you have done in Christ Jesus. Amen.